Bishop Chuck started this conference with three sentences that just slapped me in the face. And I want you to go on a journey with me about those three sentences, okay? He started off, he said, that the Lord told him, "I can't teach you to understand what you do not know." And then the Lord told him, "Knowing does not involve understanding." What? That doesn't sound right. And the last thing was, "By my childlike faith, I can know." Huh? "I can't teach you to understand what you do not know." Okay, well, maybe the Lord's talking about how, you know, the more we learn, the more we're able to learn. Imagine Roxanne trying to teach a second grader algebra. They just don't have the math foundation for that. They're not going to be able to do that. So maybe that's what the Lord's talking about. The more we learn, the more we can learn. And then the Lord started reminding me, as a rocket scientist, all the science folks that I've known, all the science fields that I have looked into, the farther you get into the details of that particular field of science, the more you discover they don't know. Oh, there'll be one scientist that's got a theory there sure is the right one, but there's another scientist right next to them. I'm talking about the ones, this is, they make their living in this field. And there's another scientist right next to them, they got a different theory, and they're sure that's the right one. And the Lord said, "Your mind is too limited and the knowledge base is too great. You'll never understand everything." And yet we human beings are just driven to understand. We want to know why. Why did that happen? How does that work, right? So I can't teach you to understand if you do not know. There must be a difference in the meanings of the words that the Lord was using and what I understand, right? Because if I say, I know algebra, that I understand it, I have knowledge about it, right? That's how we use the word know. Well, somebody, who's got your Bibles with you? Who's got a King James? I need some help. Two different King James references. Somebody's got to have a King James. Anybody? Find it on your phone. Okay, there you go. Turn to Genesis 18:19. So this is the problem. The ancient Hebrews defined the word know, K-N-O-W. They use that word differently than we do. Actually, they don't use the word know. They use the word yada. That's the Hebrew word, Y-A-D-A. So what's the first few phrases of Genesis 18:19? Huh? "For I know him." This is God talking about Abraham. "I know him. I yada him." In the Old Testament, and actually in other ancient writings, Hebrew writings of the time, the word know, it's a very broad word, can mean a lot of different things, a lot of different contexts, but it's primarily used in relationships and to define relationships, especially covenantal relationships. So when God says, "I know Abraham," he's not talking about I've seen his Facebook page, okay? He's talking about I have a covenantal relationship with Abraham. Let me show you another place. Genesis 4:1. Actually, y'all can probably quote that with me. It says, "Adam knew Eve, and she conceived," right? Well, now that's a different kind of knowing. That's talking about the absolute most intimate, deep, one flesh relationship that you can imagine, isn't it? That was their euphemism for that. I'll just leave it at that, okay? I can't teach you to understand until you know the Jew Jesus said. And I think he's thinking of the term yada, the Hebrew word that's talking about relationship. Let me show you how this works out. Turn to John 14:6. Bishop Chuck quoted this. We're just going to look at the first phrase or one of the phrases out of there. And quote it with me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Okay, truth. We say, what is truth? The correct question is, who is truth? Jesus said, I am truth, right? Okay. John 1:1, quote that with me. What does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this Word it's talking about? It's a person. It's not what. It's what we think of, oh, the Word of God. I have the Word. No, man. It's Jesus. Okay, now let me put this together for you. Turn to John 8, our gospel reading this morning. I want you to read along with me on this. John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus is talking to the Jews. He's talking about being disciples. What's a disciple? That's a follower, someone that's becoming like their master, right? They're following along the master. They're learning to be like the master. Okay. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, and we immediately think of the Bible, right? If you continue in my word. Oh, he's talking about the words written in the Bible and commandments. If we follow his commandments. I am the way, the truth, and the light. In the beginning was the word. Oh, let's think about that. Okay. If you continue in me. Let's just translate it that way. Then you are truly disciples of mine. You're truly imitators, those becoming like me, right? And then listen to this part. And you will yada the truth. Not you will understand everything there is to understand about theology. Not that you will have all knowledge of what God says. No, you will know. You will have a deep, intimate relationship, one flesh relationship with the truth. Not, you know, is this green? That's the truth, right? That's not, we're not talking about that kind of truth anymore, are we? And that truth will make you free. Bishop Chuck also quoted out of 1 Corinthians 14:1. You know, after the love chapter, Paul, the very next thing Paul says is pursue love. I have been pursuing my love, my wife, for 50 years. And the more we pursue each other, the better off we are. We've gotten to stay a few times at Father David and Teresa's house in Wilmington. And in a couple of different places in their house, they have a sign that says, our marriage is a constant love affair. And when I saw that sign, I thought, well, that's how it has to be. We have learned that our marriage has to be a constant love affair. I believe when Paul said, pursue love, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about our relationship with Jesus has to be a constant love affair, a constant love affair that's always looking for this deep, intimate one flesh, covenantal relationship. I can only know Jesus by pursuing 24/7 Him and His love in this one flesh, intimate relationship, kind of place with Him. I don't have to understand everything. I don't have to know how it works. I don't have to know why in order to be able to come into this place of joyous love with the Lord. But what I do have to do is, in order to come into joyous love, I have to know, I have to yada Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, and I have to be known. I have to be embraced in that deep, intimate way that only He can do. And that's the only way I can live in that. And then even the rocket science, I'm telling you, I have just asked that question over and over again. Lord, I pray for this one and they're healed, and I pray for this one and they're not. What is wrong? Why aren't they all healed? Praise the Lord. I can walk away from this place this weekend free from that wondering why. I don't care anymore. I can't teach you to understand what you don't know. Okay, I believe that. I'm not going to be able to understand it anyway. Knowing does not involve understanding. I accept that, Lord. I can, even the rocket scientist can accept that. And the last thing is, by my childlike faith, I can know. And I'm just going to walk in Him and not worry about the knowledge part. By my childlike faith, I can have that relationship. Remember in Ephesians 5 where Paul starts talking about marriage, wives submit to your husbands, husband loves your wife, you know, all that stuff about marriage? If you keep reading that, at the very end, he gets down to the end and he says, but I'm not really talking about marriage. I'm talking about the relationship between Christ and the church. It is a one flesh relationship like the relationship that we have. That's what he's looking for. We stay in that, man, we're going to stay in joyous love. So, amen.